All right, turn in your Bible with me to Ephesians chapter 2. The title of this message is Jesus is the Gift. Jesus is the Gift. And we think about, you know, getting blessings from God. We always want stuff from God. We have our little laundry list, like, God, I need you to give me a new car. God, I need you to straighten out my husband. God, I need you to straighten out my wife, right? Whatever is on your list, right? But Jesus is the gift, right? Rather than seeking a bunch of stuff from God, God, I want you. Before I want anything from you, I want you, God. Jesus, I need you inside of me. Holy Spirit, I need you to fill me. I need you to empower me. I want to have a friendship with you, God. You're the gift, not the stuff you provide. I'm glad you provide me with stuff, and he does take care of our needs. But God wants more than just to be Santa Claus, right? He wants to be more than a paycheck to you. He wants to be your Heavenly Father. And Jesus is the gift. So Lord, bless the study of your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, made alive with Christ, verse 1. Once you were dead, doomed forever because of your many sins. You used to live just like the rest of the world, full of sin, obeying Satan, the mighty prince of the power of the air. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passions and desires of our evil nature. We were born with an evil nature, and we were under God's anger just like everyone else. Now, there's this common notion amongst Americans that, I believe that people are just generally pretty good. Have you watched the news? Have you ever tried to ride a subway? I don't think that people are generally pretty good. I think that we are born sinners. We're born selfish. That's point number one. All people are born with a sin nature. Now, you hope that your child's first word would be mama or daddy. But if they have siblings, generally what their first word is, mine! Right? And that's how you know that we're born with a sin nature. It's me, myself, mine! Right? And that's inherent inside of us. We don't want any... You're not the boss of me. Right? We have this nature inside of us. We don't want anybody telling us what to do. And when we grow up as adults, we don't even want God telling us what to do. That's why a lot of people will avoid the Bible, or they avoid church, or they don't want to do what God says to do because that's not fun, or it wasn't my idea, right? And yet, God wants to help us overcome our selfish, self-centered sin nature, that we would think about Him and we would be useful to others, right? That when we do the good works of the kingdom, it points to God's glory and His goodness. It points to Jesus Christ, His Son, who considered Himself a servant of all and laid down His life for us. Amen. Wow. That's not selfish at all, right? So we all people are born into sin. That idea of original sin, a lot of people don't like it. Because I think, you know, you're just born perfect little angels. No, we're not. Just spend time with a two-year-old. You'll figure out real fast how selfish they are, right? And that's all we are. We're just grown-up two-year-olds. That's what we are. Like, we're just the same people. We're just bigger now, right? And maybe the things we like are more expensive, but we have the same nature inside of us. And we need a new nature. We need the Holy Spirit on the inside to help us overcome our sin nature. Verse 4, Paul continues here in his letter to the Ephesians. He says, but God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so very much, that even while we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's special favor that you've been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and we are seated with him in the heavenly realms, all because we are one with Christ Jesus. And so God can always point to us as examples of the incredible wealth of his favor and kindness toward us, as shown in all that he's done for us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, God saved you by his special favor. Your translation may say grace. I just encourage you to circle that word. He saved you by his special favor when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. If you have a paper Bible, I would circle those words. Gift from God. You don't earn this. You don't pay for a gift. You receive it. Verse 9, salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. Point number 2, God's special favor, or grace, is an unearned gift. You don't get his grace because you were good. You get his grace because he's good. And mercy is not getting what you deserve, right? And grace is getting what you didn't deserve. Aren't you glad for grace and mercy, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, man. Hallelujah. There's a reason why I worship. There's a reason why I love Jesus so much. There's a reason why there's a smile on my face. Hey, why are you so happy all the time? I know what he's done for me. I know who I am. I know what I deserve. Whew. It's a good day to be alive. It's a good day to have Jesus in my heart.
Amen.
It's a good day to be filled with his Holy Spirit. God is so good. He's better than you thought he was, right? God is good all the time and all the time.
God is good.
Just to rest in that should be enough for us, right? But we aren't happy because we're Americans, right? We got a list. And God's like, just put that list away. I got a list too, God says. I got a list. How about start being kind, right? How about stop being so selfish? How about think of others before yourself, right? Like, oh God, I don't like your list. And he's like, yeah, but you need my list, right? God's special favor or grace is unearned. You don't deserve it. And yet he offers it to you anyway. All you can do is receive it. And yet, I don't know why this is. People know about the grace gift. And they're like, no, don't want it. Why do they think that is? Well, they think God's a killjoy, right? God's going to take away all my fun. They think that God's not good. They misunderstand who he really is. That's why Jesus had to come to straighten out for Israel who God really was. He's like, look, he's not, yes, he's the one who made the world and he's righteous, but more than that, he's your dad. He loves you. He's your heavenly father. He wants you to come to him every day and thank him for what he's done, and then ask him for forgiveness, and then forgive other people the way you'd want to be forgiven. And that was a revolutionary idea, and it still is. Knowing God like that is still a revolutionary idea. People want to find some other way to make their way to God, and that's why man makes up religion. But true spirituality, genuine spirituality that comes by God's Holy Spirit spirituality, is adoption. It's a spiritual adoption into God's family. It can't be fully explained intellectually. It has to be experienced. It has to be experienced. The Lord's been giving me just a prophetic word here this morning. I'm going to camp out on it for you for a second. I had a sense that there's someone, I think more than one, but a couple people here maybe, that have come today with a deep, deep wound. And yeah, you could point to family trauma, or you could point to mistakes you've made in the past, but it's a depression and it's a fear. It's an anxiety and uncertainty that you can't even put into words. And if you'll just reach out right now by the power of Jesus, the Holy Spirit says, I will release my peace over you in Jesus' name. If you'll just reach out and grab it, it's yours. Just take my peace in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you would just say, hey, there's a couple people here, I think. You'd say, that's me. You're talking to me. That's the Holy Spirit talking to me. Yeah, thank you. Awesome. Several hands. That's awesome. Yeah. He's our peace, who's broken down the dividing wall between us and the Father. Isn't that beautiful to know? So you don't have to do it in your own effort anymore. It's a free gift. Just receive it. Just take what he's given you. Awesome. Let's keep going here. Verse 11, the oneness and peace in Christ. It says, don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders by birth. You were called the uncircumcised ones, quote unquote, by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living far from Christ. You were excluded from God's people, Israel, and you did not know the promises that God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you belong to Christ Jesus. Through you, though you were once were far away from God, now you have been brought near to him because of the blood of Christ. That's why I wanted to sing that old Andre Crouch song today. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. Right? The blood that gives me strength through day to day, it will never lose its power. Right? Wherever you are, the blood can reach you. God's arm is not short that it can't find you and pick you up and turn you out and set your feet on solid ground. Amen? Ooh, point number three, Christ's blood brings us near to God. Christ's blood brings us near to God. And that's a divine mystery, isn't it? Because I'm not talking about physical blood. I'm talking about the sacrifice that he made on your behalf and my behalf. And that's a deep mystery. We celebrate it around the communion table where Jesus said, this is my blood shed for you. It represents a new covenant between God and his people, right? A covenant made in his blood. The atoning sacrifice that we could be reconciled because of his sacrifice, not by any work that we've done. And man, our religious mindset, that rubs us the wrong way because I want to contribute. I want to somehow let it hinge on me, but it can't hinge on me because if it's hinged on me, I'm going to mess it up. It has to be hinged on him because he doesn't make any mistakes. He's perfect, right? And he always will be. Wow, God, this is a foolproof plan because I can't mess it up. The blood brings us near to God. So I plead his blood. I appropriate his blood. I'm washed in his blood. And again, that's a violent word picture for people who have not heard those words before. But the cross was a violent death. In Easter, in a couple Sundays, we're going to celebrate what Jesus did. And that Good Friday, it was a good Friday for us, but it was a bad Friday for him. That was a rough day. But thankfully, that Friday was followed by Easter Sunday and Resurrection Day. And because he lives, we get to live too. Amen. Whew. I know that's deep and that might freak you out, all this blood talk. But that's the way God set it up. It's not my idea. It's how he works. It's how the spiritual works. It's through blood. It's through permission. It's through an atonement. It's through a payment that has to be made, a debt that has to be satisfied. And it can only be satisfied by the perfect blood of Jesus. Once for all time. That's powerful, man. Verse 14. For Christ himself has made peace between us Jews and you Gentiles by making us all one people. He has broken down the wall of hostility that used to separate us. By his death, he ended the whole system of Jewish law that excluded the Gentiles. His purpose was to make peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new person from the two groups. Together, as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. He has brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and to us Jews who were near. Now all of us, both Jews and Gentiles, may come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Point number four. In Christ, he has made all nations into one people. He's fulfilled the Abrahamic promise where he said to Abraham, ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. Not just the Jewish people, not just the Jewish people and the Arabic people, but all the nations are the inheritance of Abraham because of the atoning blood and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Are you getting that? That's why when we see racial tension in the world, we see ethnic tension, it grieves God's heart. What's happening in Israel between the Jews and the Arabs right now is not Christian, I'll tell you that. Jesus does not approve, right? And if those groups had become Christians, they wouldn't be acting that way. And I know that is unpopular talk. Don't care. I'm a preacher of the gospel. I believe this Bible is true. And in Christ, we're all one people. So if you're a Jew and you don't need to know Jesus, you need to come to Jesus. If you're an Arab or a Muslim and you think that Isa is just a prophet, guess what? You're wrong. He's the very Son of God. Died on a cross, bloodshed for your atoning sacrifice. You need to convert to Christianity. Sorry. The truth. There is one way. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. Ooh, that's offensive. I didn't say it. He did. I'm just telling you what he said. That's all I'm just conveying the message. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at Jesus. That won't do you any good, by the way. Because he's the Lord and you ain't, right? I'm your friend. I'm trying to help you. You understand? I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm trying to get you closer to God. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. I know, man. I get mail. Okay. Thankfully, the mailman can't get to our mailbox because the snow's too deep right now. So you can send an angry letter. I won't get it. At least until next week. All right, a couple days. That's right. Let's finish the study here. Verse 19, the temple of the Lord. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Don't you love that language? Mm-hmm. We are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. Oh, Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. He is Lord, Lord of all. Amen. I'm losing it. I love Jesus so much. I hope you love Jesus. If you never hear anything I ever say out of this church, I hope you hear this. Jesus loves you. He loves you. And he just wants you to love him back. That's enough. If your family only could hear one thing from you, they ought to hear, I love Jesus. I love him so much. I hope you love Jesus. Verse 21. We who believe are carefully joined together, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also joined together as part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. We have become the temple. Our bodies have become the temple of his Holy Spirit, a place where Christ dwells on the inside. I've been trying to explain to a friend for the last 6 weeks, meeting pretty often, who's got a religious mindset but has not yet encountered the personal relationship with Jesus. And I've been trying to convey how it works. And it's not something you're going to get with your brain. It's going to be something that you'll have to experience. And you can only do that by taking a step of faith. And you won't ever experience it until you finally surrender. You won't get it completely. You can't wrap your brain around God. Are you kidding me? He's too big for your brain. And I would love to share the gospel colors. And some of you see on my motorcycle jacket, I have a little color patch. Ron has one on his too. And the gospel colors are black, red, white, blue, green, and gold. Black represents sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin separates us from God. We know that. We feel guilty about it. Sin is anything that I did that violates God's word or his law. It's good things I know how to do, but I don't do them. Sin separates me from God. And the red represents blood. Sin will cause bloodshed, anger, bitterness, hatred, violence, murder, right? But this blood is different. The blood we're talking about is the blood of Jesus. The blood I was mentioning about earlier, the one we sang about. The blood gives me strength from day to day. It'll never lose its power. Jesus' blood is perfect. He shed it once for all time. And you're not going to find a better solution to your sin problem than his blood. Because it's the only thing that's sufficient. Your blood won't do it. The blood of others won't do it. Revenge won't do it. Religion won't fix it. Only his perfect blood shed on your behalf can make you, and then the next color is white, can purify you and declare you not guilty, can make you holy, spotless, innocent in God's eyes because of the blood. The thing about God is he won't make you do this. He won't force his way on you. He doesn't wash his blood over all of humanity and say, no, not guilty. He requires that we say yes. We have to accept what he's done. We don't just get it automatically because he's not going to force himself on anybody. That's what the blue square represents. It represents true blue faith, true blue friend, the waters of baptism. When I finally say, okay, Jesus, adopt me into your family, I want to identify with your death, your burial, your resurrection. I want to be washed. When you make that faith claim, he does wash you. And you are declared not guilty, and you're adopted into his family. And that brings you to the green square. Then Jesus comes in, and you have a new life. And isn't it funny, you're all wearing green today for St. Patrick's Day. And St. Patrick would teach about the clover, which has three leaves on it, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's how he taught the Trinity. The three are one, right? But when we get Jesus, we get the Father. We get a relationship with the Father. We get the Holy Spirit. We get a brand new life. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And that's all really wonderful. And that would be enough, right? And yet, there's another square. There's the gold square. Jesus says, if I go away, I'm going to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you may be also.
We have a home forever in heaven. All the suffering and difficulties of this life, it's pretty hard sometimes. But you know what? There's a better day coming. When my grandma used to cook food, she would say, "Save your fork!" And that meant there was dessert. And I think Jesus would say, "Save your fork. Heaven's coming. Don't get wrapped in up what's happening here right now. Save your fork. I got a treat. And it's going to be eternity with me in heaven." You can know God. You can be adopted into His family if you'll just say yes to Jesus. If you haven't done it before, would you slip your hand up and say, I need to do that. I need to pray that prayer. Just slip it. I'm not going to embarrass you, call you for it, make you confess your sins. Just say, I'm going to do it. If you're online today, say, I'm saying yes to Jesus. Maybe you did a long time ago. You want to say yes today. You want to reaffirm your commitment to Christ. Say, I'm going to re-up that commitment and just say yes. Thank you. Thank you. A lot of hands here. Very good. Church, let's pray this prayer of salvation. Say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe God raised you from the dead according to the scriptures. Please come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Be the Lord of my life. I want to follow you, Jesus, from this day forward. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, lift your countenance, and give you His peace. Go in peace and serve the Lord, everybody. I love you. Have a wonderful week. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Be careful on the roads out there. Come out for corned beef and cabbage on Tuesday night for Alpha Course. We'll continue our study with Ephesians 3 next week. And think about Easter Sunday. Who you can invite for Easter. It's coming up in just a couple weeks. Blessings to you. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you so much for tuning in today to the ministry of Summit Church and the daily outreach of Wayne Hansen. You can support our ministry in many ways. Click the donate button on our Facebook page or at mysummitchurch.com. You can also text your gift to 303-625-9434. Follow the prompts using your smartphone, and 100% of what you give by text goes directly to the ministry. You can also support us by connecting with our online community. Like, comment, share, and subscribe on our various social media channels. Take care and have a great week. Remember, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life.